الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. From amongst the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest blessing that He has bestowed upon us is the blessing of Iman. And after granting us the blessing of Iman, He has given us a great blessing of time. After Iman, the greatest blessing a human can have is the blessing of time. In fact, my respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala says that time can be a greater blessing than the blessing of Iman. Because if you were to ponder over it, then there can not be Iman in your life if Allah does not give you life. And what is your life? Life is your time. If you have time, if you have life, then you have Iman. If you don't have time, if you don't have life, you don't have Iman. So you can see that this time is a greater blessing than the blessing of Iman. This is why if you were to study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find many, many verses and also many hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us to preserve and protect our time. Because this time is a two-edged sword, my brothers and elders. It's a two-edged sword. If this time is utilized in something good, something productive, then this can make your life and your hereafter. And if this sword is not used in the right place and this time is not utilized properly, and if you use this time in something which is not productive, which does not bring any benefit in this world nor in the hereafter, then the same blessing of time can bring a lot of destruction. The great Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, "Al-waqtu sayfun." This time is like a sword. "Illam taqta'hu qata'ak." If you don't kill it, this sword will kill you. Al-waqtu sayfun fa'in lam taqta'hu qata'ak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wal-'asr innal insana lafi khusr. He takes an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of time, wal-'asr. And some people, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath of the time of 'asr, because this is the time when the sun sets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating towards every single human like me and you that, O my servant, O my believer, O human, ponder over this time of Asr when the sun it raised in the morning and now it is time for the sun to set. Similarly, one day you came to this world, a time will come when your life will also come to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of time and He said, "Innal insana lafi khusr." Verily, the entire humanity is at loss. Innal insana lafi khusr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the importance of time, that how important it is for every single human to preserve time so that he can make his akhirah, he can make his dunya, he can make his the life of barzakh and the life of his qabr. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that when I was reading the tafsir of the Qur'an, when I came to this verse of the Qur'an, I thought to myself that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take an oath of time? What is so special about time? As I was pondering over these verses of the Qur'an, I happened to go to the marketplace and I came across one individual who was also selling something. So he was uttering few words. I came close to him to hear that what this person was saying. He was making an announcement. He was telling everyone that, is there anyone who can help this individual? And he was saying, irhamu ala man yadubu ra'su malihi. Can you help and have mercy upon that individual whose capital and whose commodity will melt in few minutes, in few hours? He was selling ice. This is why he was saying this. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullahu ta'ala says that I understood this verse of the Quran, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath of time. Because just as the ice melts within few minutes, within few hours, the life of an individual also melts every second of his life. Every second of his life. This is why Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu and also Hassan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say, يَا بْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٌ فَكُلَّمَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُهُ. O insan, O human, you are nothing but days. You are nothing but days. فَكُلَّمَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُهُ. When one day passes from your life, it is as if you have lost one day from your life. This is why the people in the Western world, they say, time is money. Time is money. If you have time, you have a huge commodity. And this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is money. Time is money. But my brothers, if you are in need of anything in this world, you can buy it with your money, but time cannot be, you cannot buy time with money, nor with any other commodity. Time is the greatest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that time is money. But in Arabic, they say, al-waqt. In Arabic, they say, al-waqtu al-hayat. Al-waqtu al-hayat. The time is life. It's not only money. It's life. It's life. If you see the lives of the non-Muslims who have become successful in this world, everyone who comes to this world, he has some sort of objective in front of him. Whether the person is the person of dunya or the person of akhirah. If the person is a person of this dunya, he might be a businessman, so his objective is business. The person who is in the teaching field, his teaching and education is the most important thing in front of him. You have a person who is into politics, and the greatest thing, his objective is politics. Similarly, there are people in different fields. If you look at them, they utilize their time properly. When it is time to engage in the act of their objective, their goal, they do not pay attention to anything else. If you were to set a meeting at that time, they will tell you that this is my teaching hours. This is the time when I have meetings with other people. This is the time when I sell stuff. This is the time when I purchase things from a wholesaler. And so on and so forth. If you think about it, these people are preserving and protecting their time in their objective. If you keep their objective in mind in front of us, then they are being extremely smart and clever, that they know exactly what the purpose and objective of their life is, and they are utilizing their time, their life, and the free time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in their objective, in their goal. And what is the condition of us Muslims? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is the objective of our life. Every believer should know that the objective of my life is that how can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And through that worship, how can I gain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And by gaining the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Ra'isul Mufassirin, used to say that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أي لِيَعْرِفُونَ. That this is the objective, that you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet us Muslims, when we see our life, whenever we have free time, what do? We waste our time. We never ever keep our objective in front of us. Our objective should be to please Allah. Our objective should be to become successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ultimately granted entry into paradise. This should be our condition. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة وهم معرضون. This is our condition, that the time of hisab and reckoning is coming closer and closer to us, day by day, each day, each hour, each minute, and each second passes from our life. My brothers, we are going closer and closer to our death, to our qabr, to our reckoning, to our hisab. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. And the condition of the Muslims is that they are in negligence and heedlessness. This is what the Quran is saying. This is what the Quran is saying. I wish we understood our objective and use it like how the people of dunya are using in their objective. Our aslaf and our pious predecessors, my brothers, let me mention to you a few stories so you understand how much importance they gave in preserving and protecting their time. Dawud al-Tai rahimahullah ta'ala, great pious believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to eat his roti and his bread with a salam, with a curry. And later on, he started eating his bread with water. What he would do is he would make these rotis and bread into small pieces. He would put it in his cup of water. And after the bread or the roti becomes soft, then he would go and eat it very, very quickly. When people saw him doing this, they asked him, "Oh, Dawud al-Tai, why do you do this? Before you used to eat your bread and your roti with a curry. Now you put your roti and bread into water and now you drink it like this. What's the reason behind this?" Dawud al-Tai rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned to his disciples with the intention of their tarbiyah that the reason why I do this is because where I calculated the time when I eat bread with curry and I eat bread in this manner, I found the difference of reciting 50 verses of the Quran. 50 verses of the Quran. I thought to myself that I will eat my bread in this way so I can recite 50 verses of the Quran. My brothers, they made their objective the hereafter. This is why every second of their life was spent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would assess and constantly take stock of their life, that is my life being spent in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands from me, or am I wasting my life in something which is trivial, which is not important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps something which can bring destruction for me in this world and in the hereafter. This is why our life and this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being spent in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another pious person, Shaykh Sulaim al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, pious person from the 5th century, he used to write a lot of books. And when he used to write his books in those days, they didn't have pens and pencils like how we have in this day and age. They used to have a small stick. They would put the stick into an ink pot and then they would start writing it. When the stick would become blunt, they would have to go and sharp that stick of wood. So he would sit down after 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, when the stick would get blunt, as he is sharpening his pencil or his pen, he would engage in something else as well. He would engage in the recitation of the Quran, or he would engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say that when I am doing something good, that does not mean that I become oblivious of something which can bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I can do multitasking, I will do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, his sharpening of his pencil or his pen was also a good amal, a good deed, which was bringing him thawab and reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was doing this to write ilm and knowledge. But despite that, he would also spend his time simultaneously in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the tilawat and the recitation of the Quran. This is how they spend their life, my brothers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned very, very clearly in many of his ahadith the importance of time. I don't have time to go into detail of every single hadith, but we can learn one thing, my brothers, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was extremely merciful and sympathetic towards every single ummati of his. He was more merciful towards his each and every ummati than the person's own parents, the person's own father, the person's own mother. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned everything that would benefit us in this world and in the hereafter, and also he has mentioned everything, and he has prohibited us from committing those actions which would bring destruction for us in this world and in the hereafter. He would say in the hadith, there is a hadith in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, the Ya ayyuhan nas, laysa min shay'in yuqarribukum ila al-jannati wa yubaidukum min al-nar illa qad amartukum bih, that O people, there is nothing that would bring you closer to Jannah and that would take you far away from the fire of Jahannam, but I have mentioned that to you. I have commanded you to carry that out. وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ يُقَرِّبُكُم مِّنَ النَّارِ وَيُبَاعِدُكُم مِّنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا قَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ. And there is nothing which would bring you closer to the fire of Jahannam, and it would take you further away from the paradise, from the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I have prohibited you from committing that action. So my brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the hadith, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. There are two things that I see the majority of the people are at loss. One is الصِّحَّة وَالْفَرَاغُ. One is good health and one is free time. This is a free time that Allah has given us. We are in quarantine. We have nothing else. We have no other responsibility. This is the greatest time and good opportunity for each one of us to gain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us worthy of being presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because my brothers and elders, if you take stock of your life at this moment in time, you will come to this conclusion that until now, 20 years, 25, 30, 40, 50, whatever your age is, you will come to this conclusion that we have wasted our life. We have not prepared for our grave. We have not prepared for the for that reckoning which will take place in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think for a moment that when we are made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will ask us questions over questions, and we will have to answer them. Are we in the position to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin wattaqullah. Oh people, adopt taqwa and think, what have you sent before, sent forth for the day of judgment, for tomorrow, for your akhirah. So my brothers and elders, this is a good time that we utilize this time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not waste this time. Many times when we are given this opportunity, we have nothing else to do. We waste our time on watching movies and listening to music and then watching dramas. Watching Indian Pakistani dramas. My brothers, watching movies is haram, and watching drama is a greater sin, because the dramas, they bring more destruction, more harm to a person than even movies. Because in these dramas, they show a lot of differences and how one group of people disobeys another group of people. Daughter-in-law, how she disobeys her mother-in-law, how mother-in-law does a lot of zulm and oppression upon her daughter-in-law, how the person is creating fights between husband and wife, how the person is creating fights between two brothers or two sisters, one brother, one sister, how a person is creating fights between one family and between two families. These things are mentioned and shown to you in these dramas, and slowly, slowly, before you know it, this is how you start to think, and this is how you develop your habits in your life. So let us stay away from TV, from watching movies, from listening to music, from watching these dramas, And let us concentrate upon the recitation of the Qur'an, the dhikrullah and the tasbihat, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have qada salah, let us perform our qada salah. Go and ask an alim or a mufti and he will tell you how to calculate your qada salah and you can make up for them, so that you can become successful in this world and also in the hereafter. And let us not waste our time in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected Shaykh Hafidhahullahu ta'ala says that the worst place where you can spend your time is in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we need to stay away from every single la ya'ni. La ya'ni are those actions which do not bring any benefit in this world nor in the hereafter. If it does not bring any benefit in this world nor in the hereafter, what's the point of doing such actions? My brothers, we should think before doing anything. We should think before saying anything. Will this bring any benefit to me in the hereafter or not? If the answer is no, then ask yourself, will this bring any benefit to me in this world? If the answer is no, then you leave it. If the answer is yes, then you are allowed to do it. And if the answer is yes for the first question, whether it is beneficial for your akhirah or not, if the answer is yes, then you should definitely carry that out. And let me mention to you one malfool and one statement of Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi, rahimahullah ta'ala, great pious servant from Pakistan. He used to say that la ya'ni and or laghwiyat, la ya'ni or laghwiyat ibadat ka noor chheen lete hain. That la ya'ni, those things which do not benefit you in this world nor in the hereafter, they take away the noor of iman, the noor of ibadah, and you will lose that sweetness of ibadah and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The student of Imam Abu Thawr rahimahullah ta'ala, and a nephew and also a disciple of Sirri Saqati rahimahullah ta'ala, by the name of Sheikh Abu Al-Qasim rahimahullah ta'ala, says, عَلَامَةُ إِعْرَاضِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يُشْقِلَهُ بِمَا لَا يَعْنِي. That the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ignoring his servant is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him mashghul and he makes his time occupied in those things which do not benefit him in this world nor in the hereafter. If you are engaged in la ya'ni, this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ignored you, and this is the time when you need to really strongly and firmly assess, do muhasabah, and reflect upon your life and try to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hakim al-Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, says that every corner of la ya'ni is attached with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will definitely land yourself in a sin if you constantly spend your time in la ya'ni. And he gives an example that if somebody asks me that, where are you going? Where are you going? He says that this makes me really, really angry from inside and makes me upset. And to hurt a person's heart, this is also a sin. So he goes that, look, the person posed a question which was la ya'ni. Which was la ya'ni, this is causing me pain and it's making me upset. And as a result, the person is becoming sinful. And also we can see that, for example, smoking shisha, this is la ya'ni. And when we sit for 2 hours, 3 hours, in the beginning, we are talking about something good, something about deen, something which is mubah and permissible. But when our majlis and gathering ends, we end up with talking about those things which are related to sins and disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Mahmud Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh, who wrote Tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani. My brothers, these people, they had their objectives in front of them. He used to teach 24 subjects per day. And later on, when he became a mufti and he started issuing verdicts, then he started teaching 13 subjects per day. 13 subjects per day. When he would come home tired with his family, and he would come home, he's extremely tired, he would eat his dinner and he would sit down and he would write his tafsir. This is how he wrote Ruh al-Ma'ani. Those people who are ulama, they know that how much knowledge this how much knowledge exists in this tafsir of Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani. So let us spend our time wisely. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, and who used to say, ma nadimtu ala shay'in nadami ala yawmin gharubat shamsuhu naqasa fihi ajali walam yazdad fihi amali. He used to say that I do not become remorseful upon anything. How much I become remorseful upon that day when the sun sets, in which a day decreases from my life and I do not increase in my good deeds. So he would become extremely remorseful. Let us take heed from the stories, from the statements of these pious individuals, and also from the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us spend our time wisely. لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when the people of Jannah will go in Jannah, they will not have remorse over anything except for that moment which they spend in this world without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ho rahi hai umr mithle barf kam, chupke chupke rafta rafta dam ba dam. The time and this life is passing by. Ghafil, tujhe ghadiyal ye deta hai munadi, gardoon ne ghadi umr ki ek aur ghata di. My brothers, each time when you hear the clock moving, the every second you hear that noise, tick tick tick. My brothers, this is not the time which is going forward. It is actually decreasing one moment and one second from your life. So let us make a nizamul awqat and make a whole schedule of the day, that this is the time when I will wake up, this is the time when I will go sleep. During the day, at this time I will do this, at that time, at this time I will do this, at this time I will do this. Make a whole schedule, firmly follow that, and try to allocate some portion of the day for the recitation of the Quran, some portion for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the recitation of the Quran, you can start with Suratul Yasin. After Fajr Salah, every single day try to recite Surah Yasin. And there are so many benefits of Surah Yasin. Inshallah, from tomorrow, I will be speaking on the surah, this chapter of Yasin. I will be giving lecture, and I will be mentioning, I will be doing some mudakara, and try to come up with those things which will be beneficial for myself and for everyone, inshallah. From tomorrow, the tafsir and the dars will take place after Dhuhr Salah every day. And this dars will be concentrated, focused on this chapter of Surah Yasin. So let us recite this Surah Yasin every single day after Fajr Salah. After Fajr Salah. And before you go to sleep, recite Suratul Mulk and also Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. And if you have time, then recite Suratul Waqi'ah as well. And apart from that, whatever portion of the Quran you can recite, but recite punctually. Even if it's one ruku, but recite one ruku every single day. And for Dhikrullah, for Tasbihat, just for guidance in the light of the teachings of our pious predecessors, I will say that start with 5 Tasbihat. Start with 5 Tasbihat. 100 times first kalima or third kalima. 100 times first kalima or third kalima. 100 times istighfar. 100 times istighfar. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. 100 times. And 300 times durood sharif. You can read any durood. If you don't have so much time, then you can read the short formula of durood, which is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have more time, you can read other forms of durood, and you can also read durood Ibrahimi, which we pray in our salah. But every single day, punctually, without missing a single day, let us become punctual with these tasbihat. And slowly, slowly try to progress and increase them. And if you have more time, then more read durood sharif. Read durood sharif in abundance. Recite as much Quran as possible, and read and send salutations and durood and salam upon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as possible, especially in these days of this pandemic. Because when the waba comes, when something like these conditions come upon the Muslim Ummah, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi used to say that in these circumstances, one of the most beneficial thing is to recite durood and send salutations and salam upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us recite Surah Yasin after Fajr, before going to sleep, Suratul Mulk, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and apart from that, whatever portion of the Quran you can recite during the day. And for Tasbihat, you can start with these 5 tasbihat. 100 times first or third kalima, 100 times istighfar, and 300 times durood sharif. And Also, like I said, if you have any qadha salah, try to perform your qadha salah as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to protect and preserve our time, and grant us tawfiq to use this time in something which is productive, which will bring us benefit in this world and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Now all the brothers are requested to perform their salah. If you are performing Jummah, then you perform Jummah. And if you are performing a Zuhr salah, you should perform Zuhr salah. Many people ask that should we perform Jummah or Zuhr? There are both opinions of ulama and the contemporary scholars at this moment in time. Some say that you can perform Jummah salah. So if you wish, like performing Jummah salah, you can perform Jummah salah. But the more preferred view is that in these circumstances, you are allowed to pray your Zuhr salah. Hence, you should pray your Zuhr. So you at least have this in mind that for Jummah, I need to go to the masjid and perform Jummah. And if I'm not able to do that for a certain reason, then I have to perform Dhuhr Salah, so that the maqam and the status of Jummah doesn't become so light in our eyes, in our hearts and minds. So this is why we should just pray Dhuhr at the moment, and as soon as the restriction is over, then inshallah we will be granted permission to go to the masjid and perform Jummah how we used to perform before, and try to come early for Jummah after it starts. So we come early, we listen to some deeni talk at least once a week, and we listen to these things with the intention of practicing upon it, so that we go early, we get more thawab, we listen to something, some talk of deen, and also we perform our salah properly, and try to go to the masjid, to those masajids which have bigger gatherings, because you get more thawab for it, and also turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah that we accept that these restrictions has been placed upon us, that we are not able to enter your house. This is due to our sins. So due to our sins, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah remove these restrictions and we are granted entry into the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, so we can start benefiting from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we were benefiting from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.